military gears up to rush relief supplies to Rwanda. Shuttle Columbia returns from a record-breaking mission. A Connecticut city puts public schools in private hands. Good morning, this is Frank Setapani with the CBS World News Roundup. The United States is mobilizing a massive relief program to save the 1 million-plus Rwandan refugees crowded into disease-ridden camps in Zaire. Staff Sergeant Annette Snyder says New Jersey's McGuire Air Force Base is sending at least three big C-141 cargo planes and dozens of people to set up an airlift nerve center in Uganda.
The people who are going in there, they're coordinating to get the aircraft down on the ground, get it downloaded, and get it back up in the air.
Reporter John Holland is monitoring preparations at the Rhein-Main base in Germany.
Officials say Rhein-Main Air Base in Frankfurt will be the European hub for military relief flights to the area around Rwanda. Secretary of Defense William Perry and top Air Force officials are meeting in Brussels today to coordinate the effort, which still lacks a code name. The first U.S. flight from Frankfurt bringing a water purification system and sophisticated electronic equipment to guide the future airlift are being flown down to Goma in Zaire this evening. U.S. officials say a large-scale airlift, perhaps on the scale of Sarajevo or even the 1948 Berlin airlift, could be underway within days.
U.N. relief worker Mike McDonough in Goma, Zaire, says every minute that's lost means lives lost to cholera from bad drinking water.
We desperately need people with expertise in water. We need pumps, generators, fast tanks, massive water tanks. Water is the thing that is dragging us down.
The BBC's Ben Brown says the death scene in Goma is grim and getting worse.
There are far more bodies littering the sides of the streets than I've seen previously. There are more dead, I'm afraid, than there have been in the last few days. I travelled through the town on a bus run by the Irish charity Goal, and they've turned buses here into ambulances, and they drive through the town of Goma. They pick up the sick and the dying, but they have to make heartbreaking decisions. They have to decide who they're going to pick up and put on the bus, and who they're going to save, and who they're going to leave behind.
The United States has been urging Rwandans to go home now that the civil war has ended, but UN refugee official Silvana Foa says that's not easy.
One of those problems is the border open or is the border closed? And then we have concerns about the airport. We're still in discussions about the use of the airport and what we can do to it. It is, after all, the property of the government of Zaire, and we can't just simply go in there and take over without talking to them.
The New York Times says airport officials in Zaire have been demanding as much as $2,000 a plane under the table to allow relief flights to land. In West Africa, soldiers claim they've overthrown the elected government of Gambia in a bloodless coup. The State Department says it's not been able to confirm that. UN officials say three straight days of attacks on planes landing and taking off in Sarajevo have put the Bosnian airlift in serious jeopardy. The attacks are the most serious since efforts were launched to get relief supplies to Bosnia's civil war victims. In all, five planes were hit, two passengers wounded. For now, all aid flights have been suspended. A published report says the government is trying to make a cocaine trafficking case against top Haitian military men. The New York Times says powerful police commander Joseph Francois is one target of the investigation. A drug indictment could be used to justify a Panama-style invasion of Haiti or as leverage to force the military to leave. The longest U.S. space flight in 20 years came to a successful conclusion this morning at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Houston, Columbia, we'll stop.
Roger, we'll stop. Welcome home, Columbia. Excellent, excellent job.
Thank you, Charlie. It's great to be home. We're all feeling great, and it was a super flight, and thanks to everybody for all the fine help.
A happy homecoming for Columbia and Shuttle Commander Robert Cabana, a day late because of bad weather yesterday, came after the ship's crew logged 6 million miles over 15 days, breaking the previous shuttle endurance record by about 18 hours. Government investigators reportedly found convincing evidence that officials running the Reagan-era Star Wars program rigged tests to make the Soviet Union think the anti-missile project was more advanced than it was. The New York Times says that conclusion is contained in a report by the government's General Accounting Office. Americans can expect a deluge of health care rhetoric this weekend, with Democrats in Congress laboring to fashion a less ambitious and politically viable plan. Hillary Clinton will take her campaign for reform to Seattle today, and the president will talk about health care in his Saturday radio address. Democrats are expected to present details of a modified health plan late next week. President Clinton is taking a sentimental journey this weekend. Mark Knoller has that.
When the Hot Springs High School class of 64 gathers in Arkansas this weekend, there's not a chance anyone will walk up to one of their former classmates and say, "So what have you been up to the last 30 years, Bill Clinton?" But there'll be plenty of time for the 340 alumni to gallivant down memory lane with their famous overachieving former classmate. Of course, they remember him as Bill, who would drive around Hot Springs with a top down in his parents' convertible. Now they expect to call him Mr. President. Of course, even back in high school, Bill Clinton qualified to be called that, as he was president of the Beta Club, the school's Society of Smart Kids. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The New York Times says Navy Secretary John Dalton has settled an old debt by paying nearly $18,000 to the Resolution Trust Corporation, the agency overseeing the savings and loan bailout. It quotes a Pentagon spokesman as saying Dalton didn't realize he owed the money until he received a notice from the RTC. In the 1980s, Dalton ran a Texas thrift that went under at a cost to taxpayers of $100 million. His banking activities were taken up only in closed session during the Senate confirmation process. Yet the Hartford School Board has voted to hire a private company to run its schools. Education Alternatives Chairman John Golley promises parents and pupils will see a big difference when his company takes over.
We are ready to move in significant resources to immediately start cleaning up the schools, improving the security, buying more textbook supplies, starting to bring in technology, all, of course, for the benefit of the children of Hartford.
But school board president William Meager says he'll believe it when he sees it.
Our main mission is to support the children, not stockholders. I mean, they have to please stockholders. We have to please the children. The big difference.
This would be the first time a private company would have control of an entire public school system. The wheels of justice have been grinding slowly in the murder case of Michael Jordan's father. Jim Krasula has a look at that.
There's been little progress in the case of two North Carolina teenagers charged with killing James Jordan, even though it's been a year since the father of retired basketball star Michael Jordan was murdered. Police have accused Larry Demery and Daniel Green of killing James Jordan as he slept in his car off Interstate 95 in southeastern North Carolina last July 23rd during a robbery attempt. Many people in nearby Lumberton, such as Bob Stevens, are anxious to see justice run its course in the widely publicized case.
I think people would rather get on with it and just move on to something else, because I think the whole situation is kind of embarrassing.
Defense lawyers say the two teenagers probably won't go on trial before the end of the year. Jim Krasula for CBS News, Lumberton, North Carolina.
Hawaii is the latest state to report an outbreak of potentially deadly E. coli bacteria. A spokeswoman for the state health department says the source of the problem hasn't been tracked down yet. An E. coli outbreak in the Northwest last year killed four people and sickened hundreds more. The infection is transmitted through undercooked red meat. It's 10 past.